Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This week in league, the Broncos plan to rebrand as the Brisbane Hype Trains as they entertain chasing both Kalyn Ponga and Mitch Moses.
West Tigers finally achieve consistency, giving the same level of effort to honouring fallen Anzacs as fallen club legends.
The McKinnons welcome twins who thankfully have dad's eyes and mum's spine.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 8 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 394 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm so proud of Glenn.
And I feel like less of a human.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
He's one I'm proud of.
Thanks, buddy.
Patrons. I'm going to include that back and forth. I'm going to put that up on the Patreon site later on. Because that was great. And good... Good job, Glenn. How you going anyway, fellas?
Great, thank you.
That's good.
At the risk of sounding like a broken record, fucking sensational. Oh, how good's rugby league?
Fuck's sake. These cunts just need to lose. Let me tell you. Shit.
There were a lot of people talking a lot of shit about fucking, you know, Peter Vlandis and his rules. Can I just say, we elected to keep our powder dry and just, you know, push any final opinions at towards the end of the season after getting a decent sample size of the results and just the way the games had gone. And look, seven rounds in, I'm calling it fucking great. The rules are amazing. They've made rugby league great again. Now, wouldn't you agree, Glenn?
No, I would not agree. I long for the days of no tackle count and pigskin ball and West Magpies winning fights and drunks on the hill at Lidcombe.
I was trying to think.
No,
back
you long for.
To,
sorry, go ahead, Jack.
I was trying to think back to other major rule changes.
Yeah,
we obviously had the reduction in interchanges.
Yeah,
there was the corner post.
Mm. Yeah.
Which
introduction of like a 40-20.
The 40-20. Corner post and 40-20 are universally celebrated. Did anyone mm-hmm. complain about those at the time?
I don't think so.
What I'm trying to get to is, was there a period when new rules came in where people were grumble, my team was on the wrong end of that rule a couple of times? Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
Probably not. I mean, in fairness though, probably not. You know, the corner post and things like that in 40-20 is probably not as impactful as the ones that we've had.
But,
yeah, but I mean, that's a rule change that, even if it was impactful, that's the sort of rule change that inspires the results that people want. They want the fatigue and all this, you know.
No, fatigue's terrible with Vlandis ball.
Well, yeah, this is it. You've raised a very good point. I was just saying, Glenn's probably harkening. I mean, he's like harkening back to the old days of rules. He wants to, instead of the current rules where it's a fast paced, you know, rolling style of game where Manly just fucking run points past them. He wants the slow paced wrestle where Manly wrestle the fuck out of them and run points past them.
I want the game where Dallas Donnelly starts a fucking fight and bashes cunts. That's what I want. Who cares about the scoreboard?
We're trying to get that dinosaur shit out of this game, mate. They're role models.
What
now.
About when the interchange changed from, you know, once you are interchanged, you can't re-enter?
Gee, that'd inspire another generation of 80-minute players, I suspect.
Anyway.
News time. Let's now. There's a couple of fucking stories. We've got some. We got a pretty jam-packed episode. Otherwise, so I'm just going to throw ones out here, and if you want, to expand on them, you know, to whatever degree, go for it. Just like before we started recording, I started seeing things on Twitter saying that Adam Reynolds' menu loggers looking to sign a $2.4 million deal to go to the Sharkies.
Mm.
I don't believe pen has gone to paper yet, but it looks like he sat down with Skeletor and spoke about, obviously, you know, he obviously said the right things about, you know, his true value, which is like, fuck me. I mean, like, if Chad Townsend is going to the Cowboys and getting like 800 whatever a season, I think that the Rabbits might need to fucking think carefully about why Adam Reynolds doesn't want 1 year at $700,000.
Yeah.
Like, these contracts happen, like the 900 grand Ben Hunt contract and things like that. And what happens is they reverberate through the league and they set the fucking baseline for what a various player's worth. And if Chad Townsend's worth like 800 and whatever he is per season for the Cowboys, Reynolds is worth significantly more.
That's a fair understatement.
Is he? I just think, like, at least Chad Townsend isn't an injury-prone player.
Oh, but does that statement pass the sniff test, Jay? Honestly,
well, yeah. When Adam Reynolds often smells like a green whistle, you know, he's woken up a couple of times with Josh Dugan sucking on his big toe.
Oh, can I just say, to the listeners, if you haven't worked it out already, both of these cunts are on, and it's going to be fun. So strap yourselves in.
A bit like that. Now, we will cover this one more when he actually puts pen to paper and we get the final figures and the length of time. But it seems at this stage that the Rabbits plan to sort of manage Reynolds on a yearly basis, much like they did with John Sutton towards the end of his time, where they just re-up him year on year, is, you know, it looks like it's going to go against them, which is, you know, you kind of expect.
Who gets pushed out of the Sharkies, though? Johnson or Moylan? Moylan, yeah?
I reckon Moylan probably. It could be both of them, but I mean, I feel like they'd probably be better off with Johnson and Moylan.
This is complete and utter speculation.
Mm.
But when the whole John Morris thing happened, I saw SJ on one of the post-game shows.
Yep.
I don't remember which one it was, but what I do remember was being taken aback by how staunchly he was defending Morris, and saying things like, you know, well, he's just got so much of the support of the boys, and the boys see how hard he works, and was, you know, having not so thinly veiled shots at the club, saying that, you know, I can't believe someone would do this to him, and It may be that he's on the outer.
And Moylan isn't exactly a guy to willingly put himself in front of cameras to give his opinion. Is a bit more of a shield.
I thought you were going to say players to tackle.
I was going to say willingly put himself on the field to earn his contract valuation.
So, yeah, I guess, yeah, if it comes down purely to that,
Which again, that could have been just one of those things. You know, you say that, you don't go on and go fucking thank fuck he's gone. No fucking idea.
You don't want to start shoveling dirt onto the guy's fucking grave while he, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
But,
interesting. Now, rumors are that the Broncos are looking to offer a huge money deal to land Mitchell Moses as their halfback. And then Sean Johnson, the aforementioned Sean Johnson, potentially a backup plan B if they miss out on him.
Fuck.
And in what seems to be a remarkable a remarkable sign of maturity that has washed over young Mitchell Moses.
Sean Johnson, if you're listening to this, we apologise. You should never be put in this position.
In what is a remarkable sign of maturity for Mitchell Moses is he's aware that if he's getting over $1 million at the Broncos a season, he's aware of what's happened to Anthony Milford and what's happened to Ben Hunt going down to the Dragons. And he's kind of wary of that.
Yeah.
Allegedly. So he may not want to be the saviour of the club or have the pressure that comes with being anointed as the saviour of the club.
I don't think he has the game to be the saviour of the club either. Or the intestinal fortitude, which is probably more in line with his unwillingness.
So you're saying like a Milford Croft combination is the way to the future?
He's definitely, as far as the Broncos see Moses as an upgrade on both of those guys, but from his perspective, there's no in between with there. It's you're either a hero and like you say, you're a saviour, or you're fucked. There is zero grey.
Yeah, and here's the thing: what I hope this actually does is pull back some of that. This individual will bring us glory.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so much of in recent years. Well, okay, so this team has done well, and so we are now just going to pick this player from that team and insert them into our dynamic, and then expect that similar results will happen across our team.
And we know there's only one team that can do that. There's only one man team in the NRL, right, Nate?
Yes, well, I mean, yeah, Cooper Cronk did do it with the Roosters, right? But, just saying. But it's very few people that could.
You know, look at...
And I know what you're alluding to, and Tommy Turbo couldn't do a fucking thing for the West Tigers just quietly.
Why can't you let the man speak? He's just trying to make a point. Why you got to keep butting him?
But, yeah, look at, and by and large, the greatest rugby league player... is Andrew Johns. And have a look at the impact he had on his team in terms of overall impact. You know, he was able to drag them to much better finishes a lot of years than they would have been without him. But to get all the way, he still needed the rest of his team. So
I mean, let's face it, he still had like a New South Wales utility, a New South Wales centres. Yeah. Centres, I should say, because he had Tahu and
Gidley.
Yep. Fair few.
Then he had a New South Wales hooker.
Yep. Fair few.
Queensland fullback.
Fair few back rowers that he...
Ben Kennedy was up in there.
Owe him a few beers for extending their careers and probably upgrading their contracts. He definitely was a guy that made his teammates better.
Yeah.
Again, definitely was. But you look at, people talk about Cameron Smith. Who played a lot of games. However, all of the premiership years had representative stars all around him. You know? And I think it's a good thing that people like Mitchell Moses are now going, well, you know what? Fuck your $1 million. Because I can't go up there. This isn't basketball where it's a 5-man game and the addition of one player can completely change a team and take you from a fucking cellar dweller to a finals contender.
Mm.
You know, so I hope that it pulls it back. In saying that, the one thing Brisbane do have when they're talking to halves is they can say, well, you know, look, out of all our fucking issues, a forward pack making ground isn't one of them. No, there's a lot of fucking issues everywhere else, and we're working on those. But it's not like we're asking you to play behind the Tigers forwards.
Yeah.
So,
Bulldogs look like they're close to signing Naden. So that's the third player that Trent has taken, provided Burton doesn't backflip. I don't think he can, though. I mean,
can't he?
You know,
can't he?
Yeah, he can't. Can he?
Oh, I think you will find that white man can backflip. can and will. Fucking can and will. I don't begrudge Naden at all. I was a fan of him in the team, simply because, and I mentioned this on a bunch of episodes after wins that I had last year, but he was that guy who was so obviously genuinely happy for his teammates' success.
Yeah.
You know? No matter what went on, he was the first one there every time, congratulating, beaming with fucking joy when other players scored. Was a team guy, has obviously had his issues and things around the coke use and all this other stuff. But if he's not getting regular first grade minutes, I think he could be a genuine boost to the locker room in that club. Even though the last thing they actually do need is more outside backs.
Yep.
But, you know, hey.
Maybe buy a hooker and some fucking forwards, but, you know.
Anyway.
Trent's a sexy good bloke. He'll figure it out.
Jacob Little might end up there.
Maybe so. Now, the bigger news, so just before we move on to this, do you reckon that Naden was probably on the outs anyway? Like, he wasn't really going to, like, obviously the players are there at the moment are doing the job.
Yep.
But, like, it seems like after that, after the cocaine thing, grand final thing, I don't think he was really going to get a sniff anyway, except through injury.
Pardon the pun.
You know what I mean? I think it had passed him by.
Oh. Yeah.
He's kind of on the nose. There was a line that he crossed.
And the come down was steep and harsh.
Yes. I didn't want to. I accidentally said sniff at the start there. I didn't mean. There was no pun there. But then when Glenn started acknowledging like it was a pun, I'm like, all right.
That's it.
Give the people what they want, Nathan.
Yeah. If I'm entertaining no one but you, then that's still a job done.
I'll take it.
Look, I'm not sure. And one thing that went with the Panthers after the Gus Gould days went were those little insights into it. Gus was always very open and honest with talking about, you know, why players were moving on or if there wasn't a chance for them in first grade or things like that. Yep. You know, you can speculate all you want. I don't think not starting in the grand final had anything to do with it. I don't know what was known about the bender. Fuck, how do I not remember that? Was the bender on grand final day or before or after?
After.
I thought he delivered the positive test that day, which meant it was before.
Yeah, that's it. So, okay.
I thought it was after.
So maybe
I thought he delivered the
positive
test that night.
Yeah, who knows?
So, yeah.
So maybe that's enough that for the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
You're
so does say something.
You're out on the gear.
Yeah.
You know, is that an attitude issue or a decision that you can't come back to within the club? Or within that group.
As a fan, do you prefer Gus's insights or go without him?
Look, I know he's got his haters. I'm a massive fucking Gus fan as a whole, with the caveat that nothing in this world is, you know, 100% good or 100% bad. He's got his issues and he's got his hot takes and things like that. But as a whole, I think his love for the game is genuine. And I think what he did at Penrith in terms of building that foundation was absolutely fucking phenomenal.
They're the two things I'd give Gus, I reckon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Those two points. Other than that, he's a massively agenda-driven fucking boomer too for the negative side.
Yeah. I don't get that so much. But just commenting more on... He also has a true love for the players. Mm. You know, like, again, the old story that comes out or comes to mind is what he did with Luke Lewis. When Luke Lewis was ready to retire and Gus said, no, you don't need to retire. You need a change of scenery. You've been here, you know, you've played here since you were 8 years old.
Mm.
And Gus was the one who organised for him to go and talk to Cronulla and move on there. At the end of the day, he is for the players and for the game. Sometimes not always right, but... yeah, that's the Gus take. And I also think that it's cool to hate Gus. So people that hate on him for the sake of hating are just bitter fucking hipster cunts.
I'd agree with that.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people that are as agenda-driven against Gus as Gus is against his interests, and those against his interests in rugby league itself. Mm. The big one, of course, this last week was Dearden. Tom Dearden signed with the North Queensland Cowboys from 22 onwards on a 3-year deal. And the worst thing about that, I guess, for the Broncos, I mean, it's given that the Broncos kind of expected that he was the long-term seven for the club. Mm. His manager, I think it was Ayoub, came out and said that the Broncos didn't even make his client an offer in the whole process. And so it's interesting is what a fucking shambles the Broncos have become in terms of retention of late.
And you know the situation around Reece Walsh leaving, and then
yep.
They haven't the guy that was the heir apparent, so to speak, that they've been, you know, readying to come into the side, they haven't got an offer on the table to extend his contract. That's like the Tigers telling Pappenhausen to go because Teddy's their long-term fullback, only for Teddy to fuck off to the Roosters. Not real bright.
The thing I'm trying to remember here is, though, that there's a lot of fucking nuance that can be missed in never made him an offer. There might have been detailed and deep discussions and negotiations without
but never an official piece of paper.
That's it, without either side actually getting to it. Or maybe the numbers were just so far apart that the Broncos said, we're not going to make an offer unless you indicate that you are willing to accept under this number.
Yeah, well, it sounds like they didn't make him an offer in the truest sense of the word, because according to Ayoub here, just reading some quotes now while you're talking, he says that the Broncos didn't want to get into a bidding war with the Cowboys for Tom's services. But he said you can't be in a bidding war if you don't make an offer, and the Broncos never made him an offer. So it sounds like the Broncos never put a price to even beat.
Yep, no, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe they were talking and did that. Who was it that did that recently that said, oh, look, we're talking to you, but I'll tell you what, if you want to go and talk to them, we're going to pull the offer. Was that Reynolds? Who did the club pull an offer on?
Eels pulled an offer on Nathan Brown.
No. What? Fuck.
That was a giant fuck-up too, because he was talking to Manly as well, and I think he fucked about and both sides pulled offers.
Yeah, really? Fuck.
Yeah, so I don't know what he's doing, but...
Tell you what, he's learned to take up offers in fucking quick-smart fashion, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And look, at the end of the day, Dearden, he's 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a Central Queensland product. Yeah, it's a homecoming for him. I mean, he came down to, he came down to Southeast Queensland when he went to, Palm Beach Currumbin for school, I think.
Yep.
And so otherwise, you know, he was, I think he was up, was he up through the Cowboys system, as a kid or?
I got the impression he was, Academy, but yeah.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, and then he came down for Palm Beach Currumbin, which then puts him more in the
Titans.
The Titans and Broncos sites, yeah.
Yeah.
What else do I want to talk about here? This conference thing, probably the last one that we should really talk about. So a secret dossier was given to NRL clubs revealing a bombshell plan to revolutionise the game via splitting the competition into two conferences as part of their expansion plans for the 2023 season.
Mm.
So apparently it has advanced to the stage of discussing it with the 16 NRL clubs. Anthony Abdo, the CEO, said that New Zealand market was a perfect destination for an 18th club, and then they would join a 17th team, which will be the second Brisbane team, which is going to come in at the start of the 2023 season. And they're saying that, Redcliffe Dolphins are leading ones there. Brisbane Jets, which is a consortium of the Bombers and Jets, are trying to get together as well. And as the East Tigers backed Firehawks. Now, with the two-conference system, it's going to be a Sydney-based conference and then a conference made up of teams outside of Sydney.
Yep.
So there'll be 9 clubs per conference who play each other twice. They play the clubs in the other conference once. So that makes the season a 25-game home-and-away competition.
Yep.
Best 4 teams from each conference qualify for the finals.
Mm-hmm.
The two conferences would then have separate final systems before the best club from each conference clash for the equivalent of, you know, the grand final, which would be the equivalent of a, you know, Super Bowl situation, I suppose. So the conferences would look like this. The Sydney Conference would have Roosters, Rabbitohs, Eels, Tigers, Bulldogs, Panthers, Dragons, Sharks, Manly. The Expansion Conference would have Broncos, Titans, Cowboys, Storm, Warriors, Knights, Raiders, second Brisbane team, second New Zealand team.
Hmm.
First thoughts on this?
Look, there's some obvious things that if you put yourself in the shoes of either conference, you would be happy or unhappy about. First one being travel, whereas the Sydney comps are all going to be essentially sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, that's matches right. Drive down the game day.
Yeah. And the others will do double the travel essentially.
Yeah,
and considerably more so if you consider that there'll be two New Zealand trips.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a selling point to some of the players if they can promise that you'll get the two New Zealand trips, the two New Zealand teams, one after the other.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? The interesting point, though, is I heard somebody important from the Dolphins this morning on ABC ragging on it, which is
ragging on the conference
on the concept
situation,
which is fascinating if they're looking to be the first team promoted.
Yeah, I feel they just want to be part of the regular competition, you know.
Yeah. And as manufactured as it is, you know, does it hurt for teams to be able to have more trophies in the cabinet, or, you know, to coin an NBA phrase, banners in the rafters, but, you know, things to celebrate or for their fans to celebrate? Yeah. No.
I think it'll be a fair transition for fans to get used to it. We've run with this sort of arrangement for many years now, but I don't hate it.
Can I just pause you on that though?
Mm.
As a Tigers fan right now, do you know which teams you play twice and which teams you play once?
Yes.
This year.
Oh, no, not this year. No, I wouldn't have a fuck clue.
I mean, given the draw changes every year and teams play, you know, that alters.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, and that's what, that was exactly what I was going to say when it was my turn to speak, is that week to week, it's not going to change the experience that often. There's going to be teams you play twice, there's going to be teams you play once, except you're ultimately going to know that in this format, you know exactly which teams you're going to play twice,
yep,
and you know which teams are going to be played once.
Yep.
That's, yeah, so otherwise, not a lot changes week to week. For the fan, I guess for the Sydney fan, I mean, you know, what changes if they want to go and watch their team play? I mean, they could conceivably see every fucking game with a very short drive.
That's it.
You know, comparatively speaking, not even to fly interstate, yeah, or whatever. But the travel thing, I mean, the travel is something that happens already. But, I mean, it's definitely a much greater added expense on that conference. Like, what are they going to...
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like they're gonna have to do something about that. Which, I mean, and that's gonna have to be completely funded.
Well, you take for granted that would be compensated, or that there would be grants to offset that. You know, but I'm saying it's not so much an advantage for that the other conference. It's an advantage for the Sydney one against them. But then all of the teams in that conference share that advantage.
Yeah.
So, I think this firmly falls into the, yes, you can make some arguments for a lot of sides here. It's going to happen. It sounds like it's going to happen. So at the end of the day, it boils down to, well, do you, right now, we don't play each team twice. There's not a true home and away season anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really, what are you bitching about? You know, the fucking teams that matter are all going to be in the Sydney Conference. They're all going to get 4 points a year from the Tigers. Yeah.
Fuck's sake, man.
So, I mean, at that point, do you fold them and just award the points?
No.
Yeah.
If it's that guaranteed, I mean...
That is. And, you know, look, out of...
Why risk the attrition on bodies and stuff when you're just going to get the points?
Out, out of start respect, taking a razor blade to my penis if I don't get to watch the Tigers fucking get walloped.
Is that where water chestnuts come from?
But, look, but I don't think we... I don't have enough details yet to say, like, I'm vehemently opposed to it. I'm very... I am wary of it. But, once again... I like to see all the facts and everything before I show me the dossier.
Yeah, what I'm careful of is to just say I don't like this change for change's sake. Sometimes it can be okay if things don't give you any benefits, but still don't cause any you know, additional problems.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's really just come. It's really just the way it comes down in the end. The finals, obviously, you know, a massive change to that week to week. For 25 weeks of the year, you're not going to know any.
You're not really. And the other, the only big one, the thing of the only really major one I have, is that feasibly, you could end up with that situation where you know the Storm play the Warriors in the grand final every year, and not those two teams. Obviously, they'd be in the same conference.
Yeah.
But let's say that you know at this stage. The two best teams in the competition are Penrith and Souths, then they couldn't play the grand final. That's the obvious issue that arises from this, that it would have to be you know, Penrith versus some fucking shit cunt also rans from fucking B conference.
Yeah. Look, the thing that I mean, looking at the lineup of the teams in that other conference, it just seems like the fucking division title every year is just going to be the fucking Storm.
Yeah, that's it.
Like honestly, it's just going to expand their reign so much longer because when you've got you know points coming your way from the Broncos, Titans, Cowboys, Warriors, Knights, Raiders, and you don't know what these two new teams. I mean, they usually you know come out of the blocks the first season, but you know apart from the Raiders. It's
yeah, that's yeah, it.
I don't see who's stopping the Storm, but look, it's interesting to talk about. Let's see what actually fucking happens.
Yes, put on.
I the biggest thing for me is that they're, you know, the two new teams. I'm a big fan and of expansion. I really like the idea of it, and the fact that they've gone this far down the path that expansion could happen as early as 2023 is massive.
Okay, let's get into some games for round 8. The first one, Thursday night game down at GIO. Canberra Raiders take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. The Canberra Raiders side, some changes. Jared Croker is out with a shoulder injury. Oh. I thought he was dropped. So Sebastian Chris comes back into the centres. Bailey Simonson returns on the wing. And Papali'i is dropped. Dropped. And Tarpane comes into the 17. The Rabbitohs. Their side, no changes. Totola, actually, no. Well, now I'm looking at the team list here where they named Totola despite the failed HIA last weekend. I did see on Twitter just before we started recording that he will be out. I don't remember who they said was coming in his place, but Totola will be out. In any case, I thought it was going to be some mass changes for the Raiders, but it doesn't look like that's necessarily the case.
Why was Papali'i the four guy for the Raiders? Is it because of his profile?
Ricky's come out. The phrase that Ricky's used is he needs to find the old Papa or like the, I don't know, vintage Papa or something.
So he just got to get fat.
Sort of alluding to that it was a joint decision for him to drop down a grade.
Right. Trample plebs for a week and
feel sorry for the poor cunts in reserve grade.
Bash some weekenders.
Yep.
So they can go back to their 9-to-5s on Monday with PTSD.
Go and kill some plumbers and come back to us.
I don't see the Raiders getting up. You know, it's close to being cold enough for Canberra to be a thing.
But yeah, but Canberra aren't close to being good enough to make Canberra and Canberra a thing.
Exactly.
It only really started being a thing when they got sort of semi-good.
It's not the in Canberra that's the issue, it's the Canberra.
Yeah, yeah. And for the Rabbitohs, it's just interesting, though, with Cody Walker in the one and Benji starting at six. And I did see Benji, he hasn't made a decision about whether he wants to run around again next year, but I saw his name come up as a possible solution to fill a gap if Reynolds does end up going to the Sharks.
Ouch. I think that'll backfire.
Yeah, I don't know if you want Benji with a seven.
I just don't think you want Benji full time.
It's not. He's nice to inject into games and remind you of the old days. And yeah. Like, his form has been fucking great this year, though. But I mean,
it has.
There's a ticking time bomb attached.
Yeah, but also Benji that thinks he's a good player, Benji, isn't what your club wants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I mean, he's still kind of operating on fuck the Tigers, Benji. Fuck the Tigers for not keeping me on, until the end of my career, Benji.
Do you remember his form at Brisbane after he came from the Dragons when he was fucking unwanted and Wayne gave him that lifeline and he was playing Reggie's and then all of a sudden he got called up and he was fucking brilliant.
Yep.
This is that Benji.
Yeah. Mm.
Is Benji Kiwi Darius? Goes to the Broncos
fucking
for
hell, man.
Wayne and
fucking
comes to
hell.
South for Wayne.
That's pretty insulting.
And you thought that fucking line you picked to say was mean.
I was going to say, that's the most insulting thing you've said since your return.
Fucking hell.
And you were literally shitting on Alex McKinnon not
the
half
facts
an
are
hour
there.
Ago.
Jesus.
Fuck's sake, Glenn. The Melbourne Storm take on the Sharks at the Korean Housewife. And the Melbourne Storm, Pappenhausen remains out injured, so Nico Hines will be there in the one. George Jennings is out with a concussion. Tom Eisen, who comes into the centres. Riley Jacks and Chris Lewis join the bench. And Nelson Asofa Solomona is also out via the 2021 coronavirus, a.k.a. concussion. And I did see a tweet. It was probably from NRL Physio, but I'm not 100% sure. And I think we've had something like the amount of concussions that we've had now that the Totola withdrawal brings us to is about or slightly, just slightly, like one or two less than the season average over the last couple of years. And and this is coming into round eight. Mm. So,
well done.
So, fairly concussed year. The Sharks. Okay, so Wade Graham and Aiden Tolman return.
On that note, though, before the fucking plonkers get up in arms about it, about PVL ball, there is 100% a similar subject here to the rise in diseases like autism.
Yep.
It's not that more people are getting autism. They're just getting much fucking better at... No, Mrs. Winterstein. Take your fucking voodoo witchcraft out of the co-host. Is that they're getting better at diagnosing it.
Yes.
They know the signs, they're looking for it more often, and there's a stricter rigmarole around diagnosis. You can't fucking escape concussions at the moment.
Yeah. It might surprise people, especially the people who do subscribe to the aforementioned, Mrs. Winterstein philosophies, but science is constantly improving
if you do,
itself.
If you do subscribe to the Mrs. Winterstein methodology, please be aware that we are broadcasting this podcast to you in 5G.
Exactly.
and we
can control you.
Yeah. So you're either going to get vaccinated because we say so.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, science is constantly improving itself, constantly revising and cutting out the stuff that is found to be, it's extremely critical of its methods and results. And when you're talking about with the diagnoses of increased things like with autism and with the concussions, same goes for things like performance-enhancing drugs. Guys are getting done in this day and age because the steroid tests or the performance-enhancing drug tests can detect such a smaller amount than previously possible.
Yeah.
That now people can get, hit with these fractional amounts, like picograms of something. Whereas the tests like that, when they were hitting Ben Johnson back in the day, like I mean, this is yeah. So yeah.
Mm.
But it's interesting. I would love to see what I'm interested to see what the final tally for the season comes in at, because it is like science improving year on year is not going to explain it if they end up getting like fucking 100 concussions across the season when the previous average was 31 or 33 or something like that. I mean, the tripling is a statistically significant amount.
Having said that, every single player in the Storm 17 could be heavily concussed in this game and Melbourne would still win 13 plus.
Yeah, I mean, the Sharkies, we talked about it at the time when they got rid of John Morris. Like, replace the coach at the end of his contract, that's fine. Do the negotiations now, announce it now, that's totally fine. But when an apparently well-liked coach by the players, as Jay alluded to earlier as well, when you just cut them out of the side immediately and throw a caretaker in, you're blowing up your season for nothing. I mean, there are no draft picks up for grabs here.
Mm.
Like, why are you going to nuke your own season? And yeah, you got some young guys in the side. Why do you need to potentially, you know, put them on the end of floggings for the rest of the season? And, you know, stifle or you know, fucking restrict their growth as players. Yeah. I don't know.
Mm.
Anyway, that's just me. So what was I saying? Will Chambers makes his club debut against his former side at their home ground. Tig Wilton drops to the bench to allow Graham's return in the back row, and Billy Magoulias drops to the reserves. Dugan listed in the reserves, and Tolman starts in the front row, which sees Hamlin Ueli benched.
Fucking hell. I don't remember any of those players that have been benched or dropped being that bad. Like, Duke's had a shocker.
Mm.
Yeah.
That one you can... Yeah. That.
Yeah. I'm a fucking Ueli fan.
Yep.
But...
Well, yeah, he's on the bench still. I mean, he's just dropped right out.
Yeah, no,
but,
I know. Melbourne, 13 plus. Put your fucking house on it, even with all the outs.
Yeah. Throw a D-gen on it, fellas. The Broncos take on the Titans the Friday of the late game at Suncorp Stadium. Mm. Big brother versus little brother. For little brother, Milford is back. And he'll partner inexperienced Tyson Gamble in the halves. So,
this is great. Fucking Kevy is now selecting his team based on who he can make bad dad jokes about in the fucking press conference after he loses.
Yeah. Jesse Arthurs returns in the back line. David Meade gets pushed to reserves. So, I mean, was Dearden that bad last week or worse than any other week that he has been allowed to play first grade for the Brisbane Broncos side? Or is he being punished for signing with the Cowboys?
The latter.
Yeah.
And look, you know...
Shunted.
Over the years, I've said this so many times... That, like, if such and such a player signs a fucking blah, 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 then play him for the rest of the season at prop. Or fuck it, you know, like, I am so glad for punitive shit and not developing players for other teams if they sign so early in the season. Fucking believe it. But, good on you.
Unless it's to give them a sniff of how fucking awesome you are so they backflip on sexy good blokes.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. The Titans. Anthony Don returns, so that pushes Sammy into the centres. Patrick Herbert was injured, of course, so he's gone for like what, 4 or 5 weeks, I think it was. Herman Essiesi comes into the bench for Sam Lasone, who is out with a pec injury. I forgot Essiesi even fucking signed for the Titans.
Yeah,
right. Amidst all of the forward signings they had.
Oof.
Another hat trick for Fifita.
Against the Broncos, I think that's the hat trick we all want to see.
Yes.
Right? And... honestly, you've got Milford there, right? Like, which size? I'm just trying to think of the size.
Yeah.
Milford's going to be the other way, isn't he? It's a shame. Poor old Tyson Gamble, though. He's not going to know what the fuck hit him.
Yeah, nah.
I pity the fool.
So just to take it out now, what can Kevy say? Putting a kid in front of a feed is always a gamble. We took a gamble. It didn't pay off. Some fucking version of knowing when to hold them and fold them. Seriously, it writes itself.
Anthony Milford was useless.
Knowing when to pass it and when to run.
Yeah, that's it.
And Anthony Milford can count his money while he's sitting at South Logan.
You never count your money when you're going through the drive-thru.
That was delightful.
Just count your McNuggets.
Titans catch your face. Do the Titans give it a 13 pluser?
Yes, they fucking do.
Yes.
All right. The Titans are going to win, though, right? I mean, there's no way. Right. Yeah. All right. Penrith Panthers take on the mighty Manly Seagulls at Carrington Park. Oh, so this is, what is this, Bathurst game, is it? Is that Carrington Park?
Yes, yeah. It is.
All right. So the Panthers side, they get Appy back, and Kenny is listed as, well, not a reserve. He's listed on in the 21, though. Naden's still there sitting there in number 21 as well. The mighty Manly Seagulls, no changes to 17, and what a fucking refreshing sight that is. I think it's about the fucking second time in the last 3 years. But thoughts?
Panthers need to be up for this one. You know, again, the cross that they're going to have to bear for the rest of this season is that they're going to be every team's grand final. And teams are going to be out with a target on the Panthers. So they really need to be more flawless every week than they would if they were running second or third. I think it's a benefit to them that they've seen 2 weeks of effort face back in the side to really prepare. So
because the Titans did get fucking massively shock and awed. Although you could watch the fucking tape on him from, I mean, like, he didn't do anything he's never done before. It's not like he added these new wrinkles to his game in his time off.
No, but for a player to come back from, you know, a potentially massive injury,
yeah,
and have that level of impact,
yeah,
you're right. That shocked everybody. But if Penrith keep doing what they're doing and just playing that full 80-minute game, I think they've got Manly's measure. If they slip and give Tommy room to do what he does, then there can be trouble. And what that means is that Nathan needs to be spot on with how he finishes sets.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Ivan, I'm going in and saying, well, if we're ending sets, no fucking balls go in the air. Absolutely, yeah. Fucking none. None of them go in the air. We are punching and driving kicks through the line and make the fucking giraffe bend over.
So you're saying not kicking down a throat of the two tallest cunts on the field.
Yeah, that's it. So
isn't the right tactic.
Exactly. Oh. So
where did the Tigers get that fucking... I mean, look, I wasn't super confident of Jason Saab under the high ball, but he took some fucking crackers under extreme pressure.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously he's one of the tallest guys on the field at any given time, so
yeah.
He comes 2 metres tall. But having said that, though, like, I think he had his baptism of fire. I think the Tigers started kicking to Saab because of the way the shade from the stadium was landing. I think he was in the sun first half, which is why they started. But
and their game plan was fucking pathetic. That's the main reason why they kept kicking to him.
Oh, look, you know, I'm trying to get Madge. I'm trying to light a candle for Madge. I don't want him
barely found the fucking grass all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they were putting up bombs out. They were trying to find grass. I mean, they were contested bombs.
No, but general play kicks. Yeah. General play kicks were going to him on the full all day.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm going to back Penrith here, but probably under the caveat that this is the most dangerous game for them of the season so far.
Look, that's a win to hear you say that is a win for me, because our season's only 3 games old. I mean, we've only just started. It's very early to have one of these big fucking, you know, clutch encounters in the season.
I said the same thing about the Broncos, and I hold you in exactly the same regard as I do a Broncos fan.
Yeah, no, you had the whole thing about the Broncos, like, oh, you know, you were hedging in case our fucking D-gen multi didn't land, and unfortunately the fucking Panthers obliged. If the Panthers give it, like, I mean, I expect the Panthers to win this game fucking easily 13+. However, if I mean, it's first versus 11th, and I mean, when you say 11th, that's being generous. It's a team that many pundits had penciled in for the fucking spoon. But now, if the Panthers play like they did against the Broncos and the Knights, and and they didn't play badly per se, but they did allow the those two sides quite a lot of field position and possession of reasonable ball. The Broncos, very good ball, but yes. I mean, the Knights, yeah, was reasonable ball. And the only thing that stopped them from getting probably better situations with good ball was the fact that their kicking game was atrocious and they were kicking it to the Panthers like on the 30 and they were getting back to nearly halfway to start their sets. But that sort of thing is probably not going to happen. And if they do give the good ball situations that they gave to the Broncos to Manly, then you can best believe that fucking Tommy's going to engineer some shit that, you know, a century of Broncos old boys couldn't have done in their prime.
That's it. That's
so,
it.
So look, look,
potential game of the round.
Yeah, I want to see a good. Yeah, I want to see them perform exactly as well as they have the last two and a half weeks, and if that's enough to beat the Panthers, then that's fucking amazing. Then then I'll buy grand final tickets. But you know, it may not be at this early stage juncture of the season as well. But you know, as long as if they play that well, then you know it's hard to fucking argue in round eight.
That's it.
I think Penrith are, you know, without stating the obvious, a far more settled side. And I think Manly definitely have it in them to cause an upset. But just like you say, 3 weeks of their best form is a bit different to whatever it is now.
The season's only gone for 3 weeks. What are you talking about, mate? We just come out of the trials and then 3 weeks of, you know, we're undefeated this season. No asterisk required.
No, you fucking didn't. Because if we just come out of trials, the Tigers would have done something good. So you're fucked.
Well, that's yeah. I mean, that's an insult against Glenn. But
why are you going to turn this shit around against me?
Because it's easy. The Doggies take that's the next one. Yeah, Doggies take on the Eels at Stadium Australia Saturday afternoon. The Doggies side is 1-17, as per last week, as teams generally are after a win. DWZ comes onto the 21 after missing last week with an infection. The Eels, Ryan Madison is named on the bench. He did return successfully in New South Wales Cup last week, so I guess he will make his... I can't see why not. Hayes Dunster replaces Will Smith on the interchange. Wirimu Grieg is a player that drops to make way for Maddo to come back into the side. Look, Dogs, it was a resolute defensive effort against an extremely wasteful Cronulla side that probably left about fucking 24 points on the table.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Just rushing that last pass and, you know, the amount of forward passes and held ups and double movements and, you know, all that sort of shit.
Yeah, spot on.
Just you know, in a game that was a one try game at the conclusion. I don't think the Eels are going to get involved in that kind of situation, to be perfectly honest.
For all the heart and spirit that Barrett spoke about in the press conference last week, Parra probably would need to get out of third gear to win this one convincingly, I think. I don't think the Dogs got a chance.
Yep.
Yep. Trent Barrett to cry this week as well for other reasons. The Newcastle Knights take on the Sydney Roosters at McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights side, Lachlan Fitzgibbon and Tex Hoy listed in the reserves. That's in 20 and 21. And the 17 that lost to Penrith last week has been retained as per program. The Roosters, Teddy remains in the side. Verrill's listed at hooker. Marshy on the bench. Takeaha returns via the bench. And Fletcher Baker drops to the reserves.
Mmm.
It's like Roosters by how much?
Yeah, Roosters by a long way.
The Roosters have given me no fucking reason. Like, I'm stunned. Have they lost since
Melbourne.
Melbourne? Yeah, Melbourne.
That's
Melbourne.
Right, yeah. But even that was a game, like, I mean, like, while the scoreline, if you just look at the line item and say, oh, yeah, it was like 20-4 or whatever it was, you're, oh, fuck, they must have, you know. But that was a game where it's just Melbourne took the limited opportunities that they secured for themselves,
yep.
And the Roosters couldn't.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was still like a fucking fairly even back-and-forth kind of game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, the Roosters have shocked me with how incredibly well they have done. With this, you know, with this young halves pairing of Hutchinson and Walker,
mm-hmm.
I've got. I'm not going to fucking bet against them.
Knights can't win. Knights can't win.
All right.
For lots of reasons, but mainly because they're just not fucking good enough.
Can you imagine Teddy catching these fucking kicks from Blake Green? They somehow struggle their way down to the 30, and then Teddy gets it at the 30. They're going to be starting every fucking set on halfway or on their own 40.
Yeah, that's it. So,
you know. The Warriors take on the Cowboys, Central Coast Stadium. The Warriors side. Let's see. Well, there's a lot of changes here from the look of it. Marcelo Montoya is out. Sean O'Sullivan and Jack Murchie are out of the 17. Fusatua comes into the wing. Pompey to the centre. Tohu Harris to lock. Tuivasa-Sheck back to fullback. And Rhys Walsh, this time, will be in the halves, wearing a six.
There you go.
The Cowboys. Tamalolo is back.
Have they hired Tim Sheens as an advisor or something?
Tamalolo back, pushes Bird at the interchange, and Mitch Dunn is suspended, so he is out. This is a tough one because I don't really know what to make of the Cowboys. I mean, getting that win, you know, that close win over the Raiders was a great fucking win.
Yeah, it was.
Other than that, they just slapped around what the Broncos and the Doggies or something, didn't they?
Yes.
And the Tigers.
Oh, sorry, and the Tigers. I forgot about Tigers.
So
it probably wasn't. It probably wasn't the Broncos.
The Dogs, the Tigers, then the Raiders. This is four. So they're on three in a row.
And the Raiders, the way they're going, you know, was that Raiders scalp that, you know, you'd think it would be.
I feel a lot about the Cowboys season as I've felt about Titans seasons in years gone past, as in they seem much more vulnerable or at the mercy of individual ebbs and flows in form.
Right.
As in, you know, how Cole Felt's playing will determine a lot of how the Cowboys go. You know, he was absolutely fucking instrumental in their win last week.
Yep.
And I realise I'm saying this just as we've had this discussion previously, that no one player can really have that much of an impact on his team.
Yeah.
But Tomalolo's back. There's been a lot written about that recently. All the fucking rumours are starting out.
Yeah, got a good one from the mailbag this week.
I won't spoil it then. I genuinely hope that he has legitimately been injured and is now just going to return and do JT things.
250 metres and just straight up the guts.
Like, obviously be the second best metre eater in the NRL this year after Brian To'o, who, you know, I think ran for three times what Kalen Ponga did last week.
What were those figures? Just roughly, you don't have to give me the exact ones.
I do like to be exact. So Ponga ran for 179, To'o ran for 336.
Fucking Jesus. And I mean, let's be honest, to be fair, both of those guys, a lot of their meters are uncontested running back, you know, bombs and shit. Fifth tackle kicks. But
yeah, but see, with Brian To'o, out of those 336, 300 of them were post contact. Just trucking cuts. But
What did you get? 336, did you say?
Yeah.
So he had 337, but then fucking Stafford Toa. Oh no, that was Dylan Edwards that got palmed off, wasn't it? I was going to say he lost one from getting pushed backwards.
The Warriors have got points in them.
Yeah, just, you know? I don't trust. This is why it's such a hard game to pick, because I don't trust either of these teams to do what, you know. I don't trust either of them.
Yeah, I'm probably leaning towards Warriors, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's it. At home.
Home-ish.
You know, yeah. Reverse Peyton revenge game.
I'm just not convinced. Yeah. I'm not convinced on the Cowboys just yet.
They've had a glow-up. Now the X is back in town. They've been through their fucking hot girl summer.
All right, so we agreed it's going to be the Warriors, right?
Yes.
Dragons take on the Tigers. Sunday afternoon, Wind Stadium, the Dragons side. Ben Hunt returns in the halves. So that pushes Jack Bird to the centres, Ramsey to the wing, and Jordan Pereira and Ravalala are both suspended. And, so, yeah. obviously. And Josh Kerr returns in the back row. Billy Burns to the bench. The Tigers side. Mass changes, I expect. Joey Leilua back at centre with Michael Cheekham out.
Masterstroke.
Toikamanu drops to the bench with Twal moving to prop. And Luke Garner at lock. Offhand Galway lock. What? How can he be locking the... Let me have a look here. Oh, so Garner's going to the back row. Sorry, he's in 11. And Joe offhand Galway's the lock. And McHaley replaces Zane Musgrove on the bench.
Yeah.
Glenn, you can have the first go here. What do you make of this game? Dragons were great at the start of the season, have fallen into a hole and lost, what, a couple in a row now, three in a row?
Yeah, I'm wary of the fact that Ben Hunt's back, and I'm also wary of the fact that we played like a steaming pile of dog shit last week.
You did your best.
You're a fuckwit.
Look, there's no solemn or respectful event that you would expect the players to get up for this week, so you should be okay.
You should be okay.
Well, what we've got this weekend, we've got our Labor Day long weekend, so do they have any particular affinity for the union movement?
They tend to go on strike fairly often.
I would consider cunts getting paid for not doing fucking much and having all the protection in the world, meaning everybody else takes the fall for their shit performances, means they fit exactly into a fucking union.
It's their day.
And I say that because I was held up in traffic for 4 fucking minutes today as cunts in orange shirts and flags decided to walk across 3 lanes of traffic in the city.
That's just Tigers fans. Tigers fans that thought that the game was on at the wrong time at the wrong place.
Could have been Newcastle Knights fans with in their fucking high vis. You don't know otherwise.
And Nate, as you and I have discussed, the fucking fastest way to turn either of us against any cause you are supporting is to put me in fucking traffic.
Word.
I will support any fucking valid cause through time, money, fucking involvement. I'm all there for you. But the minute there is a fucking protest somewhere I need to drive, fuck you.
That's it.
You like, you same-sex marriage people are lucky gay weddings are so fucking fun to go to. Because I was close on that one too after all the fucking marches.
This is the best thing out working from home. Doesn't affect me. I just got to fucking hear about it when the missus gets home.
You're lucky I like to dance. I wasn't giving up that.
Tigers 13 plus.
Josh McGuire to open his account as a Dragon.
Please.
First party.
Yep, first party. No more meetings. Let's hit some mailbag action. Clevo first up says, what to Twill Nation's knowledge is the highest level of rugby league a listener has ever got to? Two, are there any rumours of players having listened to the show? Three, I wonder if we have any teens or Strive clients that may ever go on to play first grade that are current listeners who we could all champion. I don't know.
I accidentally replied to this in the Facebook group because I didn't see it was in the mailbag thread.
Right.
The highest honour a listener has ever achieved is playing for Penrith because we know that after being a guest on the show, MG also listened. So I know it's a boring answer, but the highest honour that is achieved by a listener is playing for Penrith.
Well, I mean, then in that case, I suppose that choppy clothes also counts.
Yes, no, I'm aware of that, and the highest honour is still someone playing for Penrith.
Highest honour played for Manly and was in the inaugural Origin game, absolute legend. And as far as I know, I don't know everything. I'll concede that, but as far as I know, never entered into a duel with the Crystal Pistol.
So what, it's a good thing he's a fucking coward?
I don't think you're getting my point. Now, I will leave it up to...
It's resistance training for your brain. It's like those fucking cunts that go to Denver so they can't breathe. Do you know what sort of fucking grasp on reality he has now? It's awesome.
I thought people went to like fucking like Minneapolis or somewhere to let out enough to breathe. Anyway, we'll need Michael at Strive to let us know about his clients. I know that one of his clients had to listen to one bit where I was pumping him up. So shout out to Denzel, hooker for Blacktown workers, who should theoretically have the best chance of being of making first grade, because I mean the first grade side doesn't actually have a don't stab cunts, and the first grade side doesn't have a hooker. So you've got to think that with Matty Ballon's tutelage at Blacktown, I mean he's playing with a stacked deck, and I mean if he's up to it, it should only be a matter of time.
That's it.
Danny said, well, we've done that one, so the conference system thing, so we won't go down that fucking hole again. All right, Dan, and this is one for you, Glenn. Now the Tigers are legit wooden spoon contenders. How good does ninth look to you now? Now that you are legit wooden spoon contenders, how good does ninth look to you now? If given the choice, would you take three ninth place finishes in the next three seasons, or roll the dice that they can turn it around in that time?
I'm rolling the dice. Fuck ninth.
Degenerate fucking gambler from Western Sydney for life. Amen. Robert says, is Reece Walsh the real deal?
Hard to say after one game.
It's too early to call, right?
Yeah. Raw talent. He looks the goods, but there's more to being the real deal in the NRL than a dash of raw talent. So let's see if he's got the work ethic. Let's see if, you know, when teams start working him out, how he adjusts.
And if Brownie's going to keep shifting him around the fullback and you know, the halves and everything like that, like he needs to have a settled position too to, you know.
Yeah.
Where has he played most of his junior footy?
I thought that fullback was his preferred position, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, why moving into halves? I guess that maybe that's just to stick him in the game and let him sort of participate in the game, but probably in a less... At the end of the day, you've got fucking RTS in your side, right? I mean, there's only so much you can...
For a year.
Yeah. There's only so much you can, hobble your side by not having one of the best fullbacks playing in his position. I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, blooding juniors and kids for the future is great, but, you know, so is winning. And people have got a job to do, you know. Sorry, you going to say something, Jay?
No.
All right. Matthew said, has the increased speed of game and fatigue levels contributed to the number and severity of high shots so far this year? Like, on face value, I say possibly yes, because I know...
It probably accounts for some lazy ones.
When you're tired, laziness creeps in and your decision-making isn't as crisp as... And your execution's not as crisp. So does that mean, you know, guys are throwing arms out or miscalculating more when they're fucked, and possibly?
Also, Aaron Woods doesn't have fucking head highs 10 times a game, so I'd say there's no correlation between fatigue and swinging arms.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to fatigue, you've got to do something, and when has that happened with Aaron Woods? He was wearing orange jerseys.
It's all relative for him, you know? I think it may be a contributing factor. I think there are lots of things at play, and it may be a contributing factor.
Yep. Hayden says, now since we're 1/5 of the way through the season, insert Kevin Walters meme here, a bit over a quarter of the way through the season, top eight, is it what you picked at the start of the season? Who stays and goes out come the halfway origin part of the season?
I think the Dragons are overperforming, just based on their spot on the ladder. And let me just have a look.
The bottom three of the eight at the moment are very susceptible.
I'm just having a look because I actually don't know who's in the eight. I know where Penrith are, and the rest of you fucking pleb cunts can fight out for the scraps.
I expected the Raiders to be higher, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. I did. I expected the Raiders to be higher.
I think the Raiders can probably come back and consolidate a position in there. I thought the Sharks would drop out, and that's proven to be the case. And yeah, they'll probably drop further than I expected them to.
Yep.
I think the Titans are overrated at this point, and so are the Dragons.
Yeah. And let's be real. Eels being second is probably an overachievement by a couple of positions.
I thought they were top four. Yeah, that's fair. Being second after seven rounds is a little bit surprising for me.
You'd expect Melbourne to be up there.
Mm.
Yeah. No, so I don't think the top five are a surprise.
But their positioning in the top five is...
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of water to come under the bridge, and... I don't think the Tigers will be there, though. I'm sure Glenn would have thought they would be.
I demand it. I'm going to will it into existence.
You've done a shit job so far.
Pretty fucking ordinary, if I'm honest. Yeah.
So, get good. So, Justin says, I was in a cab in Townsville on Friday night. Cabby tells me he knows a bloke who was sleeping with a Sheila who's mates with Todd Payton's missus. So take this sauce for what it is. Ostensibly, Tal Malolo wants out of the Cowboys, had a big blue with Peyton at training, shopping around for a club to take on a massive debt, maybe the Tigers. That part of it rings absolutely true.
Yeah, that does sound like something the Tigers would do. It does sound a little bit like my Aunt Mavis's fucking... cleaner spoke to the pool boy who fucked a stripper who cleans toilets at the Cowboys.
Look, we know it's not true because it hasn't got that sentence, so you know it must be true.
So you know the
source is good.
Yeah.
That's the only way to trust.
It could just be a concession that the source is clearly like... a bloke, a cabbie knows a bloke who was sleeping with this Sheila.
Yeah, that's it.
I think we've already hit the
not the coach Todd Payton. It's fucking Todd Patson that works at a fucking shop fitting company.
I bought a sausage roll off this bloke.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fuck. Who knows?
Thoughts on.
I would like to think that professional athletes are professional athletes and that they can deal with things like personality conflicts or that a new coach might not necessarily go in there and want to blow up personality conflicts so quickly. But, you know, who fucking knows? Every year into this future we keep marching, the more fucking... The greater the percentage of players are actual little entitled millennial cunts. So,
yeah, that's it.
Maybe it's true. Who fucking knows? I'm sure it'll all come out in the future.
Yep.
And Tom Lolo may find that signing that massive long-term big money deal comes with some downsides, as in if no one's happy to pick up the extra freight for him.
Yep.
You know? Stuck.
Stay put.
Yep. Thoughts on Dylan Brown copping a $5,000 fine? That's a fairly minor penalty, I think, in the scheme of things.
Well, again, you got to remember, and it's important to add there as well, what he was charged with. He wasn't charged for fucking in a toilet.
Yeah.
So it's not saying that if you fuck in a toilet, your fine is $5,000. It was bringing the game into disrepute. Performing an action... Yep. That brings the game into disrepute. So you did something in public that got out that makes the game look bad.
And that's only to the level of $5,000 worth.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Because there's been much larger fines.
That's it.
And look, I think it's probably fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it.
James says, if a baby was left on the doorstep of an NRL club in a Jungle Book style scenario, which club would have the worst environment to raise the child? I reckon Parra ranked quite high, along with the likes of Fergo, Moses, Gutho, Edwards and Cartwright on the roster. If that child manages somehow to survive, that'll be one fucked up little cunt. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Hashtag Tigers in decline. Yeah. Worst environment to raise a child. Well, I mean, you know, you'd say in the light of the current situation at the Dragons, I mean, you certainly don't want to, you know, raise up, you know.
Well, we don't know the colour of the child, so it could be fucking great for them.
Yeah, but he could be. Well, I mean, so what the options are?
He's got blonde hair and blue eyes. Good.
Or he gets raised in a fucking white hood.
Yeah, exactly.
And not playing Casper. So.
Well, look. Does anyone have fond memories of fucking demountable school buildings? There's only one club where you spend your fucking time in tin sheds with no air conditioning. Greasy head, fucking strangely spaced out fucking executives making TV documentaries about themselves while they should be looking after the child.
Chairman threatening to sue anyone that says anything nasty about any of these fucking people.
Oh, look, you know.
It's all good until Uncle Robbie comes home. And you're in trouble.
Yeah, fucking hell. That's it. That's the worst environment for the kid. And I say that knowing that Trent Barrett coaches another club.
It's even Dylan worse says, if the kid decides that they want to be a rugby league player.
Oh, that one there, I haven't got the whole thing in there, so pasted into my document, so I can't do that one. We've talked about that one. Gary says, with the two conference system, does Suncorp Stadium host the grand final for the non-Sydney teams? Also, how will the Super Bowl grand final allocation location work? Surely the Sydney conference can't have the home advantage every year. Yeah, but at the same time, I think if they're going to do something like that and copy American sports to that degree, then perhaps they'll do it like they do the Super Bowl, where locations bid to host the game. And it's often, not always, I think it's only one, you know, once or twice ever that's been the case, but where it's never going to be a home side for any of them, you know, so it's just an extravaganza bid on by states or venues or governments to bring it to
their thing. But then again, the issue here is they're trying to boost ticket sales. Why would you do that and then have it in fucking Adelaide?
Yeah, I don't want to go to fucking Perth. Yeah. Do meetups and shit over that fucking, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is another one of those details that I want to see rather than just, you know, allegations of leaked dossiers. Clevo, does any young male actually believe Dylan Brown didn't know / invite his little footy buddies to watch him fuck a thot in the shitter? Them
is
crawling
that the
around.
Yeah. Mailbag from Clevo about Dylan Brown?
No. His first one was about something else. Them crawling around on the floor giggling is dead giveaway. The scallywag gave him the wink and the nod to follow him in for a browse. Yeah, I believe it. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know how it works.
Yeah, okay. So, but what if, though? Tell me a group of dickhead young guys doesn't find it equally as funny if he's giving them the don't follow me.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
I know for fucking certain that if I was at a party and snuck off into a room with some girl, the worst thing I could fucking do was look at my mates and say, don't fucking come in here.
Yeah.
Dancing the fucking cha-cha around you as your balls are floating in the breeze.
Yeah, I think he's more worried about them actually jerking off. Dancing to cha-cha. What kind of wholesome fucking church gangbangs have you been to?
Well, it's a nude cha-cha. I can't say I frequent too many gangbangs, Nathan. I'm honest.
You just used to having to use code words at fucking carnivals.
You're a fucking cock.
Advice time.
Oh, God.
This one we forgot last week to put into the episode, so we're giving it the full airing that it deserves. I can't remember. I didn't hear whether it needed to be kept anon or not. But here we go. Shall we assume anonymous or not?
Yeah.
Right, okay, so we'll assume anonymous. Hey, guys, I need a little fatherly wisdom for the Wednesday show. The basic gist is the missus and I support different NRL teams. I support the mighty undefeated Asterisk Cowboys, and she supports the Melbourne Purple Cheating Cunt Squad Storm. For a while, we got around to the question of who do the kids follow by agreeing that our firstborn is a cowboy and the second, if there is one, goes for the Storm. Lately, however, given the Storm's recent premiership win, thanks Penrith for that, this seems to have emboldened her to the point she keeps referring to Josh as a little Stormer, even going so far as to get him baby Storm gear. How do I, politely, tell her to fuck off and wait her turn? Glenn, you can kick off that one.
Well, I can't say I relate to having a wife or a partner that gives a fuck about rugby league, but...
No, neither.
Yeah, you're in the same boat. Oh, I feel like that there needs to be a certain level of respect in any relationship, and if you have an agreement before the child is born, that agreement should be adhered to, even if it is such a travesty that the child has to support fucking Cowboys or the Storm, for that matter. And, you know, worst comes to worst, just go and make some more kids with someone else. It's the worst that could happen. Make them Tigers fans. Didn't work for me, but...
That's terrible advice. I expect better advice from you. That's absolutely terrible advice. I will 0 points.
Ultimately, tell your missus to stay in a fucking lane.
Oh.
And there's a spare room at my house if things don't go well.
Toowoomba's changed you, man.
Jesus Christ.
So aggressive.
Fucking hell. I bet you're glad the old fucking CEO of Australia Post got fired, aren't you? Jesus.
So now, I can't believe I'm saying this, but now, for some hopefully carefully considered and real advice, let me now throw to the biggest misogynist on NRL Twitter.
Fucking, I have been called that, haven't I?
You have. I mean, you know,
I am.
By you know, let's not go there, but fucking Glenn Close would ring this person up asking if she's got any fucking rabbit recipes. Anyway, your advice, step down.
Oh fuck. Funnily enough though, did you see the week after that though, someone's tweeted into the show and said the woke guy on there gets a bit preachy sometimes. So I'm also the woke guy.
Isn't it funny the different perceptions that people can have sitting in their different positions.
So first of all, how fucking dare you two? How fucking dare you two sit there and try and predetermine something in your child's life that is not a choice? I fucking bet that you're the sort of clowns that if you don't get them turn out the way you want, essentially what you're asking us to do here is give you the green light to send them to fucking NRL team conversion therapy. Where some fucking dubious man who probably should be on a sex offender list sits there and tries to teach them the error of their ways and explain to them that even though they have feelings towards this other team, it's wrong. You know? And for them to just follow their heart and their passion is somehow immoral or unnatural. Or that
you know, one thing fucking... they didn't mention in that whole paragraph was nothing about, you know, what the baby's favourite colour is, which jersey does he crawl towards, which one does, you know what I mean? Like,
you know,
they're not considering the child's thoughts in any stage.
Here's the thing. I bet that you even go so far as to sign, you know, again, you've made agreements before the child's even entered the world. Now, I'll say a lot of things about Glenn, but one thing I can never take away from him...
Here we go.
...is he loves his child unconditionally for who he is.
That
he has accepted...
That didn't go where I was thought it was going, but please continue.
He has accepted who his child has naturally become. And to a lot of parents of his generation, it would be horrific. As we all know, that child has become a Broncos fan.
Clad in Tigers paraphernalia from the day he was born.
Literally.
You know, he didn't look at that.
Until the day he became cognizant to make his own decisions and it shows another side.
He didn't look at that as an abject failure in himself as a father. He understands that side of a child's life is not a choice. So stop fucking thinking about yourselves, and I'd expect no fucking less from Cowboys and Storm supporters, you selfish cunts. Fucking, you know what? This is why both your teams are in the fucking B conference. Seriously.
This is that B conference mentality.
It is. It's such a fucking B conference energy.
There's the name of your episode, boys.
I know. I was thinking to myself earlier, like, fuck, we don't really have an episode title for the so far. So I was trying to force it out there, but yeah, we got it in the end.
So you know what? You take that fucking narcissistic bullshit you've got pointing and turn it into love and support for your child and reap the rewards. There you go. There's my advice for this week.
So with the child, he's put pictures of the child in the Facebook group in the past, and we know that he's like,
that's brave.
Barely a toddler, like he's a baby. So at what point do you just let the kid just go for, you know, the next 5 years and then make a decision, such as what happened with Glenn? Or
given, I assume that this kid's first words will be "Yeary of Cleary."
I find that unlikely, but yeah. Go on.
can you imagine? You finally get some of that good, you know, post having children intimate time with your partner, and then this little hand just sort of crawls up the doona. You see these two eyes pop over the end and it just goes, "Boot the rat back."
If that were to happen, I mean, Jeffrey Epstein would fucking crawl out of his own grave and go, "God damn, that's abusive to children."
Oh, fuck me. We went on a ride then. Thank you, gentlemen.
We did. That's full time, episode 394. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. To grab the link to our Patreon, our social media communities, and much more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, and fucking tell a friend. Speaking of reviews, here's one from Ben Lux 1. Guess who's back? Real Dad's back. 5 stars.
Hey.
I thought having Real Dad back in... Yeah, see? The tide's turning, mate. I thought having Real Dad back in my life would be great, but realizing he's more like Hey Dad as he touches my listening ears inappropriately each week again.
This didn't go how I thought it was going to go.
It looks like back to therapy for me. # Tigers in decline.
Thank you, you piece of shit.
Fuck, I wish I could remember the theme from Hey Dad so I could start humming it.
Yeah, no, I can't either. Yeah.
All
never watched it.
Even if you got it right, I couldn't tell you. I'm just drawing an absolute blank here.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, sorry man. I can't help you with that one. But
no.
Before we close the show, I'd like to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons. Big thank you to Rocky, Josh, and our man Chewy, all legends that are on our Revelation tier. So look forward to catching up with you guys all later this year. Hopefully a magic round, hey?
Chewy.
I mean, you know, as this episode's released, we're like, what, 2.5 weeks from magic round? Doesn't look like the COVID's going to kill it. Looks like it's all systems go. So I think that you should probably look into our base camp for that weekend, hey?
Will do.
And we'll get it out to you guys as soon as we know.
Sounds good.
And it's only confirmed. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up, fellas?
No. Good.
All right. On that note, talk to you Sunday.
See ya. Later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.